please, please, please give me that. I would have put a tracking device on myself in a heartbeat. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about tracking our kids with technology. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Hello.
Hello.
You monster.
I know. I'm doing all those things I said I would never do.
You're like the FBI or something. The TSA and the CIA all rolled into one.
And the NSA and all those other TLAs.
Nice. So, okay. So before the show, you mentioned that you like have mobile things going on that are tracking the most trustworthy teenager in the world's behavior.
Yeah. I get a notification on my phone. Oh, there's another one. I got a notification on my phone informing me that she had just got an A on her history test.
So not to brag or anything, but...
Not to brag or anything. I get those about two or three times a day now.
So wait a second. So you've brought up your school system in the past a few times, and it sounds like they're kind of savvy technologically.
They're trying to be. They sometimes miss the mark, but they're trying to be.
Yeah, they overshare, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So the robocalls in particular, I think, are pretty annoying. Is it the school that sends you the robocalls?
Yeah, it's the school that sends me the robocalls, and they don't do any kind of filtering of their list. Like the other day, I think over the course of a week, I got three or four different calls that said, hey, you know, juniors, we're having an SAT prep course for free this Saturday. I'm like, well, okay, you didn't need to call me three times and my kid's a freshman. So filter your list. But
yeah, segmentation's a good thing.
Yeah, their heart's in the right place.
Yeah, it's an important feature of notifications is relevancy, and that would have been an easy one.
Yeah, it would have been. But they've also got a system that students can subscribe to that gives them text messages that say, oh, you have an assignment due on this date. And the marching band has a thing you can subscribe to that gives you text messages about competitions and that sort of stuff.
And they're literally text messages, not push notifications in some school application. Okay.
Yeah, they're text messages. Now, the stuff I was getting about the grades, that was a push notification from an app.
So your school has an app, or her school has an app.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And what, like, do you have any idea what, like, how does the teacher has to, like, enter all of these grades into some centralized computer system that handles all this stuff? That's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom's a teacher, and let me tell you, the school she teaches at is pretty backwards compared to that. So, okay, so no matter what the grade was, you would have got a notification. It wasn't just like, you know, you signed up for...
Right, it's not, congrats, she got an A. Yeah, I would have been alerted no matter what the grade.
Achievement unlocked.
Right.
All right. I mean, so that leads one to believe that kids are not sharing their grades with their parents, because I imagine that not 100% of the kids are getting A's.
I would imagine not. So yeah, it's interesting because I got a text message, a phone call, and an email the other day letting me know that they had sent home their like progress reports for this grading period. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't need to look at that.
Yeah, because you've been notified like of every single grade along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a thing I said I would never do.
So is that really tracking though? Or like, is it like, what does she talk about when she comes home? You already know everything.
No, I get all the social stuff when she comes home.
Okay.
So which is good.
You didn't just follow her Instagram?
She actually doesn't use Instagram as much as she used to. I don't know. Maybe she's moved on to something else that I'm not aware of yet.
Yeah, Snapchat.
Probably. I get all the social stuff when she comes home. But yeah, the grades, I started doing it for a couple of reasons. And one of them is that I don't want to be that helicopter parent. But at the same time, high school is when grades start to actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like they count for things like getting into college.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be aware of what's going on. And you know, if she gets a bad grade on something, we can talk about it. And I can be like, okay, do you need help with this? That sort of thing.
Right.
And so monitoring it more closely seems a little more important than it did when she was in the younger grades.
Yeah.
And also because she's doing a lot of extracurricular stuff this year. She's doing marching band. She's got a robotics club. She's got another band she's doing. She loves all of them. And you have to keep your grades up to stay in them. And with all the other stuff she's got going on, I want to make sure there's not an assignment that she overlooks or forgets about because she's so busy.
So you get notifications if she forgets to do an assignment?
The assignment due dates are all in the system as well.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Like if she missed, if she like played hooky, would you get a notification?
Oh yeah, they'd call.
Like a person would actually call.
Yeah, like a person would actually call in that case.
Oh, how last millennium. So you really can't get away with anything in high school anymore.
Not at ours, apparently.
Wow.
It kind of feels, part of it does feel a little bit big brothery and like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be monitoring things this closely or like, you know, giving everyone this window into the day-to-day goings on of, I don't know, it just, part of it does feel a bit much, but at the same time, she knows I'm doing it. And I asked her before I started, do you mind if I do this? And she said, no, I'm so busy. I actually really appreciate you kind of having my back on this.
Mm. So isn't it fair to say, he asked, leading question style, that in the old days, parents should have been keeping track of that stuff anyway? Like that isn't, I don't think it's unreasonable for, I mean, that would be like the classic example of a parent who was giving a, you know, care about the kid's mm-hmm. performance in school. And my parents would be like, you know, when I brought my report card home, they would go over it and they would talk to me about it. But it was like too late at that point. It would just be, that's like, I can't remember, it was quarterly, right? So like you'd get a quarterly report card. And if you get a D on something, there's like no recovering from that really. You know, you've got two quarters left. What are you going to do? You know, your averages. You know, it would have been better if my parents were every night asking me, did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? And you know, I was a latchkey kid. I didn't do anything. Yeah, I did whatever I felt like, which was never homework.
Right. Yeah. A lot of these things, if I didn't have their system automatically telling me, you know, we'd be having these discussions.
Yeah. So I don't feel like this doesn't feel that big brothery to me. It's more like automating. It feels a little bit lazy.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's a better word for it.
Yeah. But it's the kind of thing where, another word you used earlier, monitoring. I wouldn't have called it monitoring. I would call it like an ambient awareness of what's going on. So like these sort of micro interactions, this like bleep, everything's cool. Bleep, everything's cool. Bleep, everything's cool. Boop, something might not be cool. So it allows you to, I feel like it's kind of good because you have an awareness. You don't have to badger the kid. And she knows you're getting them, so it's not like she thinks you don't care or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, you know, if heaven forfend an A- came across, you could have a conversation with her.
I could go and glare at her.
Take away her phone, then what? So she wouldn't remember anything.
Right.
So I can't find. A part of me that's against this. It doesn't feel as tracky.
No, it doesn't feel, I guess you're right. I guess maybe monitoring is not the best word because I'm not sitting there staring at it waiting for the next grade to come in.
And, right, glaring like a warden.
Right. And judging her character based off of every single, you know, assignment or score, test score. But but it's been super helpful for us. Especially since she's so busy.
Mm. Yeah, it reminds me of the Facebook effect on my friends and that I've had on my friends and family because, you know, everybody who's sort of anti-social media and anti-internet is like, oh, you know, look at these people sitting next to each other on the train, not talking to each other, staring at their phones. And I'm like, those people are probably closer now than they've ever been because of the phones. Because it makes it so easy. They're probably interacting with like six other people that aren't there. That are right. At the place they're going, you know, like they're probably all hanging out already and, you know, they're just like preparing to like where to meet up or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe I'm a bad person, but I am closer to my family now and more up to date with what's going on with them now, family and friends than ever before Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I lived with them, because I was, you know, I was a horrible teenager. And the last thing I wanted to do, I just want to leave. Like, can I just leave now? So, you know, I could have done that and they could have been like tracking me with AT&T family plan or whatever that thing's called. So, and that was the other thing. This reminds me of the clock in the Weasley household.
Yeah.
Which I love. But so to explain, I've never heard of this. So what's the deal with what's it called? AT&T family map?
Yeah, and I guess it's similar to like Find My iPhone or stuff like that, where basically It brings up a map, and you can set specific locations, and then it just in general you open it up and it will tell you by using the GPS on the phone where such and such person is.
Mm-hmm. And is it something that will it send you notifications and stuff if they like enter a casino and they're not supposed to be there? Or like,
I believe you can set it up to alert you if they go into or out of certain areas, but I haven't done it because that's not the reason I'm using it. I'm not using it to track her, to keep her from doing stuff that I don't want her doing, or to know where she's at all times because I don't trust her.
Why are you doing it, Kelly?
I'm tracking her because she goes in these marching band competitions that are 2 or 3 hours away, and she falls asleep on the bus and doesn't let me know when she's close to home, so I'd never know when to pick her up.
Oh, that's a good one. That reminds me of that app Glance. I really like that, where Glance, I think it's spelled GLANYCE or something like that. It's got a weird, you know, it's got a Silicon Valley spelling.
Yeah, they Web 2.0'd it.
Exactly. But it's a cool little thing where if you are, I don't know if you're running late for something or people are waiting for you, or there's like a situation for whatever reason, you get a bunch of friends and they're trying to meet up, or people are waiting for you to leave for something, you just send them a Glance, which is a URL to, you know, you as a little blue dot on a map that they can view. So instead of them being a blue dot on the map that they have in their hand, it's you. So they can see your progress if you're sitting in traffic, or if, you know, whatever the case may be. It's kind of like the Uber thing where you can share your ride, not share your ride, like split the fare, but you can, one of the things it asks is like, hey, do you want to, you know, let somebody know you're on your way, and they can sort of track it. But it's a very time sensitive thing. It asks you like, you know, how long do you want this to broadcast your location?
Like be good for. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really, I think, a really cool user experience. Is a cool way to frame that sort of thing. I would have loved that. I swear, like there was this, I used to get in so much trouble because, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was a kid, I was basically like, I was basically like Elliot in E.T. Like that's, I'm like this, I was the same age as that kid in that movie at that time.
Okay.
And we had the BMX bikes and we played D&D and we would go over to our friends' houses and there'd be a million people there when we got there, you know, because this was back in the day when you were allowed to go, you know, out of a 50-foot radius of your house without parental assistance.
Right.
And so my friend Phil lived like, I don't know, it must have been 5 miles away at least, you know, in a relatively major road.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just normal. There were kids all over the place. And so we would go there, but I would get there and be so excited and be seeing everybody and like so stoked to have like our, you know, do like a big campaign. I would 100% of the time forget to call when I got there.
Yeah.
And I just repeatedly, I mean, I never remembered. It was almost to the point where, like, thinking about it now, I should have just alerted Phil's mom. Like, if you ever see me in this house, please remind me to call my parents.
Yeah.
From your kitchen where there's this wall thing on the wall.
This giant box on the wall.
Yeah.
I can relate to that so much, the forgetting to call. And I'm sure it worried my parents even more because, well, you know, you have working eyeballs and I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. It's a thing. And I've long since stopped trying to change the thing. Mm. But like my dad still worries every time I fly.
Yeah.
So like every time I land, I have to text him, even though I'm 38 years old and blah, blah, blah. It's just, he has a thing about flying. So I text him every time I land. And there have been many times where I've just been so excited to like, okay, finally going to get off the plane, got to go through luggage, got to find the person I'm meeting up with. And it's just, you know, and then we get in the cab and we go out to dinner afterwards. And I'm like, oh, I should text dad.
But it's the worst. It's the worst feeling. And it's, I've gotten into the habit of whenever I'm traveling, I just check in all over the place on Facebook. Yeah. And so like, because I know I'm going to forget to call. So I would have opted in as a teenager, 13-year-old kid on my Mongoose BMX bike.
You would have opted into AT&T Family Map?
Yeah, please, please, please give me that. I would have put a tracking device on myself in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's interesting that we talk about, oh, it's not right to track your kids. But then the kids are like, oh, yeah, please track me.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. It's like,
yeah, and it's like, I want you to know if I need help.
Yeah, right. I wasn't doing anything. Like, I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't supposed to go.
Right.
I would have, too. There was just nowhere to go. It wasn't like I was being good. I would have gladly have gone to some place I wasn't supposed to be, but there just wasn't one. You know, like if I was in a place I wasn't supposed to be, it was not of my own volition, and I would have been happy to have a tracking device on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, ugh. Anyway, so it's did you say already that I'm assuming that you guys had a conversation about it? Like, I'm going to flip this thing on in the AT&T family map.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to flip it on at least until marching season is over, just because when you're out and away, it makes it a little easier to know when you're coming home and stuff, because the times they leave competitions can vary a lot depending on how well they do in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's busy, she doesn't always have time to let me know when they're leaving and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So it makes it easier to know, like, to plan our day about, like, when we have to come get you and that sort of thing.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and it is the notification on the phone the first time you turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I think that's the key right there, is like, okay, everybody, there's this thing. Is it, like, something we should turn on so you don't have to bother? You don't have to remember.
Yeah. Like, are we all cool with this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It still feels like a conversation I wouldn't want to bring up. I don't know why. I guess it would have to be in context, because you have a use case. We don't really have a use case, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Our lifestyle just right now is not, the kids aren't out and about. They're not out on their own. Once they are, mm-hmm. we will absolutely have this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It still felt a little awkward bringing it up, because even though we have some practical uses for it that I think are good and well-intentioned and beneficial, just the idea of tracking someone's whereabouts still feels a little weird.
Yeah, I guess. So here's another way to look at it, okay? If you are all at home, you can kind of hear where somebody is, you know, like Maggie does this hilarious thing because she's always the first one up. And so I get up with her and I bring her downstairs. And a lot of times we're sitting on the couch and when Erica comes down, so she can hear the footsteps on the stairs, and Maggie's like, huh? Who is it? Who's going to, is it Mommy or Cooper? You know?
Yeah.
And then you can hear what's going on, where people are, who's watching, what they're doing, who's watching TV. And to me, if you want to look at it in a non-creepy NSA sense, you're kind of just extending your senses into a broader geographical area.
Yeah, I guess you are. Yeah.
And I mean, the tricky part of having the conversation is, what does the kid say if they don't like the idea? Because it sounds almost incriminating to say, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, that didn't come up for us, so I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, well, he had a good use case, but I could imagine saying, look, there's this thing, and it might creep you out, and it kind of even creeps me out. I would be lying, but I would say that just to give them an out. Hopefully they don't listen to this. It'd be like, it kind of creeps me out. What do you guys think we should do? Because, you know, you're always going to your friend's houses. You're always forgetting to call. I always get nervous. We could just flip this thing on, but I don't know if I'm cool with that. What do you guys think? And give them like all the outs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be like, oh, yes, let's totally turn that on. And then once it's on, it'll be on forever. And I will always know when you're in college where you are. No, but I think if you think of it as like you're just extending your senses to a broader, okay, to the globe, let's say, or at least to the United States until they go out of roaming territory. It's like, there are a lot of situations where it's beneficial and makes life easier for everyone. And, you know, but there is, I can see the privacy thing. I don't know. I think privacy is an illusion.
Yeah, you know, I don't.
It's gone.
My problem is not even so much the privacy. It's that I feel like it's the reason why you're doing it. If your reason for tracking your kid is because you don't trust them, then there's a relationship issue there that needs sorted out. And turning on a tracking device on the phone is not going to fix it. And I guess that's what bothers me. I know a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm going to track them everywhere. And like, and they do it because they feel like they need to for trust reasons. And I just, that's when it really rubs me the wrong way. Cause I'm like, you know, that's not the way to solve this problem.
Yes, I agree. There's another thing that isn't a problem necessarily, but I think is probably an impulse that's a bad one, which is that you just fear that there's a predator around every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watch too much news cycle on cable news.
Yeah, even though it's a lot safer now than it used to
be. Yeah, it's statistically, it's like the world is a much safer place, at least in the United States. And if you're doing it out of not trusting your kid, then yeah, there's conversations you need to have that tracking is not going to solve. And the other thing is kind of like, it's kind of like impressing upon the child that the world is a scary place and like stranger mm-hmm. danger and like you're going to get snatched any second. So I need to be tracking you in case I have to, you know, like Liam Neeson my way into a crack den.
Right. Using a very particular set of skills
that I don't have. Right. So what am I just going to call the cops?
Right.
So, so the fear thing, I think honestly, I'm just like thinking about it now on the fly. Like for me, if there's a use case that makes everybody's life easier for some straight up convenience reason, then that's a great reason, mm-hmm. you know? And if there's like, you know, but the other two that we just brought up, I think are not good reasons.
Yeah. Fear and trust are not good reasons.
Well, so let me throw a monkey wrench into that though.
Okay.
Let's say that self-driving cars show up on schedule.
Okay.
2018, 2019. That would make Cooper eight or nine years old. He's got two karate classes a week. He wants to start going four karate classes a week.
You want to put him in the self-driving car and send him there?
We could put him in an Uber now. Mm-hmm. We could put him in a self-driving car and we could watch that dot, you know, the whole 20-minute drive that it takes, see that he shows up at karate, relax, get a notification when he leaves karate, watch the dot. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's like, even saying that out loud is almost embarrassing because it's like super lazy parenting, I suppose. But imagine though, the alternative is no, you can't go four nights a week.
Yeah.
You can't do this thing as much as you want to do it. This beneficial thing that I want you to love, you can't do it four nights a week because we just don't have the time. And so people listening are probably like, well, make the time. It's like, nah, it just doesn't work out like that. It's not realistic.
Yeah, as much as you want it to. That's not how life works.
Right. And there's a way that you could do it. You could be like, you know, maybe, you know, we could probably talk to other parents and be like, maybe set up a carpool thing. That's, I suppose, feasible. But still, I'm trusting basically a stranger who's maybe not as good of a driver as a self-driving car. Definitely not as good. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, and you're talking about tracking him there. Because there's that nervousness that you want to ensure he got there and that he gets back safely. And so you kind of have a fear motivator there. But to me, you know, I don't even know if I would consider it that, because you wouldn't track the dot if he was getting in an Uber and going somewhere at 16. But a 9-year-old does not have all of the capacities to get themselves back and forth to home and handle emergencies and situations and stuff as well as, like, you know, a teenager does. So I don't see that as fear tracking him in that case. I mean, yeah, you're concerned, but to me that just seems like the responsible thing to do. Like, you still have a responsibility to keep an eye on him and where he's at and stuff.
Yeah.
At that age, just because he's not.
Yeah, it doesn't have the wherewithal. Right. Yeah, like I can remember a friend of mine. Now, again, this is the 80s. So I was probably 12 or 13. And, you know, I had two really good friends, and they were about, one of them had a cousin that lived in New York, and we went down to her house, and she was, I think, 16 at the time. And we were taking cabs to the bowling alley and all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like no adults. It wasn't New York City, but it was, you know, maybe two train stops outside of New York City. And it was the first time I'd ever been in a cab, and we're just like, yeah, we'll just cab around. And yeah, the biggest problem was scraping together the money, you know, like who's got,
right,
some more quarters, you know, and we jumped in. We probably only took two cabs. I can't really remember, but because we didn't have enough money to take more than that, probably. Right. But nobody cared. I mean, not that they didn't care, but nobody was paying attention. What are you guys going to do? We're going to go bowling. All right. How are you getting there? Oh, we'll just call a cab. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like way creepier than like an Uber. You know who the driver is, like by default. You know, so like if something happened, you at least have a name to attach to it.
Like, oh, did anybody get the number of that cab they happened to get into?
Do we even know what company it was?
Right. Yeah. We had a thing come up a few weeks ago where Kira sent us a text message and she was like, I missed the bus. And I said, do you need dad to come get you? And she said, let me see if I can figure out another way home first. I'll let you know. Mm. And 30 minutes later, she came walking in the front door.
Nice.
9-year-old Kira would never have done that. 14-year-old me would never have done that, but
yeah,
and I was a very sheltered child. She's much more put together than I was at her age, but it just, Yeah, if she'd sent me that text a couple of years ago that said I missed the bus, I'd be like, okay, stay there, Dad's gonna come get you.
Right.
But now it's like, well, let us know if you can't figure out another way home.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, it's you can't just globally say like, oh, this age, every kid is ready to handle themselves. I mean, it depends on the community you're in, how tight-knit it is, how many friends they have, how capable they are. I mean, there's so many factors. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, I feel like the parent is really in the best position to make that judgment call. I cannot get my head off of this scenario of Cooper in a car on the way to karate without either of the parents, whether it's autonomous vehicle or an Uber with a driver. And I think what I would do is have a phone call the whole time, like a FaceTime, mm-hmm. and just be like sitting there on his phone with him the whole time. I can't decide what age I would start to get instead of tracking a blue dot on the screen. Like I was picturing myself watching a blue dot going on the map.
But then you just know the phone is safe.
I would just be nervous anyway. But I'm thinking of him now as a six-year-old, which I wouldn't do that now, just to be clear. I wouldn't put a six-year-old in a car with an Uber. There's probably a rule against that.
Probably.
But the dot wouldn't do it for me. Like, if I wanted the dot, I would rather have, like, an open Skype line that we're, you know, just, like, not even talking. Just, like, I can hear that there has been no car accident, and I can hear him mm-hmm. walk into karate, and then we hang up the phone.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Would I have let her get in a cab at 9 years old and go somewhere without me? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I let her wander around the neighborhood with her friends, but you know, that's within a mile radius.
Right. Yeah. There's this hilarious, I think it was a tweet I saw a little while back where somebody was like, 1990, don't get into cars with strangers and don't talk to anybody on the internet. You know, fast forward now, literally call strangers from the internet to pick you up and drive you somewhere. I have a high degree of confidence that in 10 years, everything we're talking about will be a joke compared to what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be so normal. Like, I mean, we're going to have an entire generation of, you know, Cooper's age and even Kira's age that are just 100% connected all the time. And the notion of disappearing from that grid is like, why? What does that even mean? Like, what's off the grid? Like, how would you unplug? It just seems so, I imagine it would be like, I feel like it would kind of be like camping where like no electricity. When was the last, like, dear listener, when was the last time you went without electricity? You know what I mean? It's going to be like that with connectivity. It'd be one of those things you do on a lark once in a while, unless you're a fringe case and you're really into, you know, I have some friends that go hiking all the time and they really like that sort of outdoorsy disconnected thing.
Yeah, I do too.
But that's definitely a small minority of people I know, and virtually everyone pretty much has electricity around the clock every day.
The last time I was somewhere without electricity, I sat and read on my Kindle.
Exactly. So I feel like connectivity is going to be that way too, where it's just like, you know, you can go without it. You've done it a couple times. Like when you were 16, you went on a 2-week trip where you were disconnected. You know, you went on a canoe trip and you were disconnected from the internet for 2 weeks. And man, that was cool, but I wouldn't want to do it again.
Right.
You know, but I'm glad I know how to do it if I have to. All right. That's probably a good place to leave it, don't you think?
Probably so. Probably a good spot to wrap up.
All right, cool. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review on iTunes. Thanks.